So this morning, I'm going to jump into Romans 8, and I'm going to start reading in verse 18. And I hope that last week, as the message came forth, that it spoke to you, and that you went home and studied this passage, and you've read on into this, and we can share some of this today, and that God is speaking to us in a fresh way. And there's a couple of points that I want to make today, and I want us to be reminded that chapter 8 tells us to walk in God's promises. Everybody say promises. Man, we should walk in the promises of God. Now, how many of you, we were laughing about this yesterday, and I shouldn't have laughed about it, but it was funny. How many of you were 16 years old when you first made a promise, maybe to a young man or a young woman, and you were going to be together forever? Anybody, we're my honest people, right? Thank you, honest people. And we look into their eyes, and we love each other so much, and we've named all 40 of our children, right? And we know what kind of house we were going to have, and right? You know how teenage love goes, right? And so I was asking my wife about one of our friends, and I said, well, isn't so-and-so in this daughter, right? They're getting married, right? I mean, they're 16. You know, they put on Facebook that they were going to spend their lives together. And she went, oh, she's already moved on to another guy, right? Broken promises, right? How many of us have had some broken promises throughout our lives? Maybe you made a promise that you couldn't live up to, or maybe someone made a promise to you that they didn't live up to. I mean, many of us have went through broken promises. But one of the things that chapter 8 is so amazing about, and about helping us to realize, is that the promises of God are sure. The promises of God are firm. The promises of God are things that you can stand upon. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed down through the ages. And nothing we can do and nothing that comes against us are going to change the promises of God. And we have to learn to stand upon them in every aspect of our lives. And so let's start reading in Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Sufferings. I thought it was interesting that he started off with sufferings, right? Nobody likes to hear about sufferings, right? We don't say, hey, we're going to get together in my house. We're just going to talk about our sufferings on Friday night. Everybody bring your favorite suffering, right? We don't do that, do we? We get together in fellowship. We want to talk about fun things and exciting things. But Paul's talking right off the bat. The sufferings, they're not worth comparing to the glory that's going to happen to us very soon. Verse 19, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have what? Been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Man, this is an amazing passage. If this is one, if you want to memorize the passage, this is the one. But here's what's funny about Romans chapter 8. There's three specific scriptures. We talked about this a little bit last week. The very first one says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stop, right? We got that one down, and we leave out that whole passage, and then we drop down to verse 28. We start in 1, we skip 2 through 27, and we jump to 28, and we say, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and call according to purpose. Amen, brother. Right? But that passage we just read above that describes what? Suffering. Suffering. See, it's amazing to me that we pick out these two verses, but we forget about the other verses that are so linked and so tied together with this. And there's another one that we'll get to in a few moments. But I want us to start off this morning realizing this. Suffering is a part of life. Now, you know that. You've been through suffering. You've held on to promises that were broken. You've had struggles. There's pain. There's sickness. Did anybody get out of bed this morning hurting? Man, I got up hurting this morning. I lifted the lawnmower yesterday. I thought I was 20 again, and I picked up the riding lawnmower like a moron, right? And so, like, my neck and shoulder, it's like they're like, eh, like they wouldn't even work all day yesterday. I'm like, pick it up. And I'm just swinging it around like it's, you know? It hurts. We have pain. We have troubles. We have trials. We have sickness. Strep throat's going around like crazy. Viruses are going around like crazy. Ebola, however you say it, right? Stuff all over the world, there's always some kind of sickness or funkiness happening. Tragedy. I mean, there's always something going on everywhere. I was reading about the firefighters. If you've not been following, pray for their families. Man, they were just trying to do something good, trying to do the ice bucket challenge for ALS and got electrocuted. I mean, tragedy. I mean, who would have thought? Something like that. We're just out here doing something for a great cause and a freak accident in their bucket touched the power line. Man, our lives are filled with suffering. Suffering is a part of this world. Death. And no one likes to face death. And I think the United States is probably the worst country in the world to face death because we have in our minds that we can beat death. We have in our minds that we can run down to the doctor and he'll give us another pill or he'll give us a treatment or something and we can beat that, but you can't. It's all around us and we suffer. And then there's who are going through it, and then there's the bystanders. Man, that's one of the hardest things for me when you work with so many people in a church group. I mean, you watch people and you go through it with them. And you suffer alongside them, and knowing if you're like me, when I can't do anything about it, that makes it so much more intense. Because I can't change the suffering. But the Bible speaks to us clearly that we're going to undergo pain, distress, and hardship. And why? Why? So that's one of the questions that's always asked. Well, why would a loving God, anybody ever heard a statement like that? Why would a loving God do this to people? Why would a God who claims to have all the power in the universe, man, why would he cause a child to suffer? I can't serve a God like that. All these questions we ask. But we know as believers why they're suffering. Suffering is a result of what? Sin. The sin that entered the world through Adam and Eve and their lack of faithfulness to God. When you go back to Genesis, where we have the account of them being removed from the garden. Does anybody remember what God said to Adam and Eve? He said to Eve, you're going to have pain in what? Childbirth. And he looked at Adam and he said, in all your days, you're going to toil with the land. Labor. Labor for a woman, labor for a man, right? You're going to labor. Does anybody ever get at the end of the week and they're just like, if I could just make it one more day, right? That's why we love Wednesday so much, right? Home day, we're so excited, right? Just a couple more days. And I got 2 days of freedom, right? The labor that we are intensive with. The labor that we've had to put our hands to. Listen, this wasn't God's intention. God's intention was us to walk in the garden and wait for him to show up every day to walk with us. That was his intention. But now we're in this broken world. And suffering is a result of sin. And listen, God's not punishing you because of your sin. Okay, we get these things like, you remember when the hurricanes happened and people saying things like, well, God's finally cleaning up New Orleans. Right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the world is broken because of sin. Okay? The world is broken. There's all these things going on because of sin, and the world is spinning out of control. But God ultimately sits there on the throne waiting for that moment to rein us all back in. Sonship, the adoptedness of God, to be heirs of the kingdom. But why is suffering so important? Think about your life and the things that you have persevered through. Listen, suffering can bring about positive outcomes. Suffering does have benefits. But see, here's the problem. It's not politically correct to tell people you're going to suffer, right? Because we all just want a bowl of cherries and rose petals, right? We don't want to suffer. We don't want to have to go through these things. And suffering makes us think about our mortality, the frailty of our lives, that truthfully, we're not in control. We're not in control. We never know when it may be our last breath, our last good night, our last goodbye kiss on the way to work, the last time we get to tell our children that we love. We never know. We don't know when God will call us. And suffering reminds us of that. And we hate that as humans. We hate knowing that we are not in charge. We despise that. But you know what hope or suffering generally causes us to do? It causes us to look at our hope in God. Suffering, the difficulties that we go through that were described in Romans 8, verse 18, that it causes us to look inside of ourselves and go, well, you know what? I have to depend on God. He's already called me as his child. And he's laid out a plan for me in my life. And then it should remind us that beyond this life, we have an eternal promise. It should remind us that beyond this little life that we live and we think is so big and so grand, that it's just a moment in eternity. It's just a moment. And that God has prepared for us for the other side of this life, a new home. It should remind us, but in our suffering, so many times we're laying around, woe is me. How could it be of me? How could this happen to me? And we don't sit back and look at the good things that come out of it. I want to share it. Right, if you want to write something down, write these down. Psalm 119 and 67. Before I was afflicted. Has anyone ever been afflicted? That is not pleasant, all right? We don't use the word afflicted for anything pleasant. Before I was afflicted, Psalm 119 and 67, I went astray. But now I obey your word. That's a good one to go home and study. Psalm 119 and 71. It was good that I was afflicted because then I learned your decrees. What is this telling us about when suffering comes our way? If we turn towards God, it can have a positive outcome as we learn. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Anybody remember when you were a child and your parents used to spank you? You know, that's something we don't really do much anymore. But you remember when that used to happen? I remember that. And I don't ever remember going, this is good for you, Ivan. You need to just grin and bear it, right? Anybody? Anybody ever a parent that sat you down and went, this hurts me more than it hurts you, right? Anybody ever have that? Right? And you're like, how? Right? I actually tried the thing one time with the Bible lesson with my oldest one. She's not in here, so I'll share this. And I sat down with her and I talked about forgiveness and grace. And so I talked to her about that it hurt mom and dad when she didn't obey and when she went against the things that we were leading her to, and we were trying to raise her as God caused us to raise her and raise her on biblical principles and with virtue and honor and integrity. And so I told her about how Jesus Christ took our sins and that he took our place. And so here's what I said to her. I said, so today dad is going to take your place and I'm going to let you give me your three licks with a belt. And she sat there for a minute. She was like, all right, right? And she thought it was amazing. She got to spank dad, right? That didn't work. So it might work with your child. There's a tool you can try every once in a while. But suffering, we've never went, oh, come on, bring it on. I need discipline. Someone, please discipline me. We've never done that, ever. But listen, there's gain from suffering. And in the long run, as God speaks to us through this, and we stand on the promises of God, we will learn that suffering has a benefit. Here's a part of it this morning. Number one, the Spirit is working on your behalf. Listen, the Spirit of God is working on your behalf today. When we don't know what to pray, have you ever been in a situation that you couldn't pray? I've been there. And when I didn't know what to say, God, I don't know what to say. Listen, I've stood beside bedsides and I didn't have words to pray. I didn't have words to comfort people. I didn't have words to share. And I just say, God, speak through your Spirit. Speak through your spirit. Let them know what they need to hear. Listen, when you're overcome with despair, when you're hurting and you're struggling and you don't know what's going on, the Spirit of God is interceding on your behalf. Listen, that's an amazing promise today. When we don't know what to pray, when we don't know what to do, the Spirit of God is interceding on your behalf. We say, well, I mean, how do I apply that? Simply, God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know where to turn. Spirit, lead me. Listen, it's that simple, church. It's that simple. But see, we're so stuck and still trying to make it happen and working it out. And really, we should step back and say, God, I've done everything I can do. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. Take me where you need me to go. Verse 27 says, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Listen, so many times we've talked about this. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Listen, that is not biblical. It is not biblical because our heart leads us astray. The Word of God tells us over and over that our flesh has cravings and desires that don't line up with the things of God. But the Spirit of God is interceding for God's people in accordance with God's will. Listen, if I went around the room and asked you, how many of you want to walk in God's will? Every one of us are going to go, oh, that, yeah, I want to walk in God's will. How many of you want to stand on the promise of God? Oh, I want to stand on the promises. And most of us really mean it. Some of us are going, well, when it's convenient, right? Well, when it goes along with the things I really want to do, sure. But most of us would say, I want to follow God's will. Listen, following God's will sometimes means stepping back and saying, Spirit, lead me. Lead me. Guide me. Remember the old Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart, and lean not to what? Our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Listen, this all ties together. There's purpose in this plan. There's purpose in this book. Listen to me this morning, church. Even in despair, God's plan for you is being forged. Even in suffering and tragedy, God's plan for you is being forged. When your boss walks in and sticks it to you, God's plan for you is being forged. When you walk in the doctor's office and he gives you the worst news of your life, God's plan is still being forged within you if you'll follow his Spirit. I know that's tough this morning because it goes against everything that we want to hear. It goes against everything sometimes that we've been ingrained to believe. But verse 28 is amazing, and it says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But see, we forget about the suffering part, right? We don't want to hear that. We just want to hear this verse. And we love to leave out all the other stuff. But listen to me, church, it's directly interlinked and tied together today. The difficulty is going to come. And it's so convenient to leave out and quote verse 1 and verse 28. It's so easy to do. I am not condemned, and all things are working for Ivan. Hallelujah. Right? Because it makes us feel good. Because it makes us feel good knowing, hey man, I slipped up last week, but I'm not condemned. And I'm good to go. And God's going to take my messes and my problems and my mistakes, and he's going to work them for my good. Yes and no. Because his love and grace is going to cover you. But listen, there's also something called consequences. Everybody know what I'm talking about? For the choices that we make. Listen, God's not going to magically rain down lotto funds so that you can pay off that credit card that you shouldn't have charged up in the first place. Why do we stop smiling now? Right? God's not going to just jump down out of heaven and go, hey, let me handle that for you. Because you're financially irresponsible and, hey, I actually own the cattle of 1,000 hills. So let me take care of this for you. It's not going to happen, church. Because when we make choices, sometimes it may take us years to get out of those choices. When we align with things other than the things of God. And listen, making bad choices is a part of life. It's the truth. We all made bad choices, every single one of us. Some of us are still paying for them. Don't elbow the person sitting beside you. Okay, don't do that. That's a bad choice, right? But we made choices that are difficult for us because we didn't consult the things of God. We didn't turn to the Spirit and say, God, should I make this choice? Is this the path that you're leading me on? Is this what you want for my life? Listen, telling folks that they're going to suffer doesn't draw a crowd, does it? You know, we could have a big light out here on a night and a big blow-up guys and all the stuff. We could draw a crowd in with all, we're going to give away stuff tonight. When they show up, we'll say, we're going to give away suffering. Because in this life, you're going to suffer, but God's going to walk you through it. Guess what? As soon as the word got out of that, the crowd would dissipate. Right? But if you tell them we got pizza and t-shirts, man, they'll come in droves, right? Because we want to feel good about life and we want to feel good about the things that are going on. But that's not what Romans says and that's not what Paul's writing. He said, listen to me. You're going to go through difficulty. You're talking about a guy sitting probably more than likely in a prison dungeon cell. Beaten and battered and broken. And he's like, it's okay. God's going to work it out. He's just writing away. And who knows, man, how beaten and broken and battered he was. But he still persevered through it, knowing the Spirit of God was forging his plan. And God's doing the same thing for you today. Listen to me. On the other side of suffering, on the other side of darkness, on the other side of pain and distress, God will be right there. He will walk you through it, and you'll get through it. And he'll work it out for your good. He'll work it out for your good, either in this life or the one to come. He'll work it out for your good in the midst of heartache, in the midst of unemployment, in the midst of backstabbing, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of addiction, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of trial, in the midst of death. Listen, God is going to work it out for your good if you put your trust in him and stand upon that promise. Go back with me to Romans this morning, 8, 31 through 39. Wonderful promises to stand upon. Starting in verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And we need to stop right there. If God is for us, who could be against us? Another amazing promise to stand upon. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? And then I love this next verse. No one. No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Another fantastic promise to stand upon. And then verse 35. This is one of those standalone verses that we know so well, right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither present or past, or nothing else in the future, nor powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we love to quote those last couple right by themselves. Right? We do. We love those. But listen, they're great promises. And a promise that you can stand on this morning is this. We will conquer. We will conquer. How many of you have ever had something, man, that you conquered in your life? I mean, things that you knew were going to be great difficulties and you had to push through them and overcome them. Man, it feels so good when you get to the other side. It feels so good to know that you have done something and you've achieved something, or maybe you've worked on something and you built something, and to stand back and look at it and go, I did this. It feels so good. And in God's promises, he says to us, we will overcome. You can stand upon his promises. And I love this. If God's for us, who can be against us? And you're thinking in yourself, well, this person and this, right? They sure seem like they're against us, right? But here's the truth. If God is on our side, Who can really stand against us? Here's what this says in layman's term. How can you lose with God? That's what it says. How can you lose with God? You can't. You can't. Now, did that say there wouldn't be sufferings? No. Did it say there wouldn't be hardships? No. Did that say that you wouldn't have to persevere? No. But it said, how can you lose with God? And the answer is, you can't. You can't. Because all of this is intermingled and it all ties together. So then the question comes back to who is in control? Who is in control, really? Because I can tell you, I've sat there when times in my own life that I felt like things were spinning quickly out of control. I will tell you, the moment that stands out in my mind is the night I left the hospital when the wife told me that the doctor told me that my wife wasn't going to live. And about 3 hours later, when I got in the vehicle to drive home to get a change of clothes, I remember pulling across 23rd Street and saying to God, I don't know that I can deal with this, God. I don't know that I can make it through this. Because it seemed like, you know, that afternoon, everything was great. That morning, things were fine. And just a few hours later, very quickly, the switch is flipped. And you're standing there thinking, what am I going to do from here? Listen, when life is spinning out of control, it's hard for us to step back and go, God, I know you're in control. God, I know you're in control. It's hard. Listen, I can see that moment burned in my mind when my ears started ringing and I was thinking in my mind, did he just say she wasn't going to live? I remember that like it was yesterday. And I can remember looking at him and his mouth was moving and all I could think about was, did he just say that she wasn't going to live through this? And I remember it. And I remember walking outside and calling my brother and say, man, I need you to pray. And I remember calling my friends and saying, man, I need you to pray. And then I remember standing in front of the hospital with tears running down my face till my shirt was soaked. With people looking at me like, what in the world is going on with this guy? And I remember God's voice speaking to me and saying, trust me. Trust me. Listen to me, church, it's not always going to be easy. You're going to go through suffering and despair and hardship and trial. But the King of Glory is on your side. Man, take heart this morning. The King of Glory knows right where you are. And he's forging the path of his will in your life. And I think often if I'd have gave up in that moment, and I said, man, I'm done. God, what kind of God are you? Man, I've served you all these years. Man, I've led young people to the Lord. I've done retreats and camps, and I prayed with people and blah, blah. I could have walked away. But where would I be today? Where would I be today? We wouldn't be sitting in this room. We wouldn't have the church family that we have. We wouldn't have experienced the things that we've experienced together as a body of believers. But we push through. Listen, it doesn't matter what the enemy brings against us. It doesn't matter. And I've shared this over and over and over. And one of the things that stuck out in me, because if you know me, you know a lot of, man, I'm gritty. You know, if we got to get in there and make it happen, we're going to make it happen. I don't mind doing the work and I don't mind pushing through things. And one of the things that stuck out with me was this. You know what? I've always told people since I became a believer, I've preached this one thing and now I'm going to live it. I'm going to live it. And I told God, no matter what happens, I'm going to live what I believe. And listen to me, church, when I'd walk into that room and my wife was laying there completely out of it with holes all over her and the doctor saying she's not going to make it, I would stand there and say, God, no matter what comes, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And when I would leave there and go to the other hospital that my newborn was in, and I would sit there in the NIC unit with her, I'd say, God, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust you. Because listen, it's not a time to give up when the going gets tough. It's the time to put our belief and our trust in God into action. And we say, God, I'm going to trust you. Because it doesn't matter what's going on, the challenge that comes against us. It doesn't matter who brings the difficulty against us. God is going to stand with us. And when you can't stand, he's going to hold you up. And his spirit is going to encompass you. And listen, he expects you to do your part. He expects you to be praying. He expects you to stay in his word. He expects you to be faithful. But when you are weak, he will be made strong. And it doesn't matter what comes. The great I am will always be in charge. He will be in charge. Listen, you're not going to be condemned in Christ Jesus. You're going to walk in his grace. And his faithfulness will abound. And his spirit will intercede. And not just the spirit, but what did the second passage say? That even Jesus Christ himself intercedes on our behalf. Now we have two parts of the Trinity working, speaking to the Father on our behalf. He's calling out to God for you. And the second part of the promise, it says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the things of God? No, nothing. No one can. And what he's saying this morning is this, it doesn't matter where you find yourself. You may say, I am so far away from God, there's no way he can reach to me. That's not what his word says. You may say, I'm walking through a valley that's so low, there's no way that his grace can cover me. That's not what his word says. You may say, Ivan, I've messed up so many times, you just don't understand what I've done. That's not what his word says. His word says that nothing can separate you from his love. That his love is ever reaching and ever pulling. His love is ever flowing. We used to sing a song when I was a teenager that said, over, over and over, his love keeps running over. Over and over, over and over, the love of God is running over. Man, listen to me this morning, church. His love is running over for you. His love is reaching out to you. His spirit is working for you. His promises today is this in your life, that you will overcome. And nothing, height, depth, nothing, trial, tribulation, not one thing will keep you from walking in his love. If you'll stand upon the promise. Stand upon the promise. But I love this passage because in Romans 8, we only like a couple of the verses. Right? We only like a few of them because they feel so good. And the other ones, whoo, they're a little tough. But we love to know about the promise. We love to know about the faithfulness. But there's parts in their church that we have to latch on to. There's a part that Paul wrote in there. He says this, because of his love, I am convinced. I'm going to let you mull that over for just a second. Paul's writing and he says, I am convinced. So the question I have to you this morning, are you convinced about the things of God? Think about that for a moment. Have you truly in your heart, in your mind, have you convinced yourself that you fully believe in the things of God? Because if you do, you can step back and say, Spirit, intercede for me. Jesus Christ, intercede for me. I'm going to stand on your word today. I am convinced that your word says these promises are for me. And God, I've done everything I can do. I've been faithful. I followed your plans. I followed what you've laid out for me. Now I'm going to step back and stand on the promise. Are you convinced? Because if you're not, here's what happens. If you're not convinced, you're still out there going, I can do this. I don't need that. I can do it. Oh, you're going to come against me? I'll tell you what, you come against me and watch what happens. You come against me and fury will rain down. You'll see a side of me you don't want to see. Because I've worked hard and I've invested in this and I've done this and I'm going to work hard to make this happen and I'm going to keep working. And nowhere in there do we ever mention that God has given us the strength to do the things that we do, that God has given us the blessing to be able to walk in the things that we're walking in, and that God has given us the ability and the mind and the power and the breath of life to even exist. And we're still in there just making, I'm turning this thing out, man. I got this. God, I'll call you if I need you. And I'm in here, man, I'm just tolling it out. And that's not what his promises say to do. His promises say, stand upon him. Don't do it on your own. And remember who's writing this? The guy who always did it on his own. The guy who was in charge of everything. He was the one who was persecuting Christians. Man, he was the one who just said the word and people did it. He was the man who was large and in charge. And then he finds himself broken and battered, sitting in a prison, writing, saying, listen, step back and follow God. Let go. You don't have to be in charge. Let go. Follow God. God wants you to submit to him. And I'm convinced that when you do, these are the things that will happen. Listen to me, church. God is on your side today. God is on your side. But the things that you've committed to God, leave it with God. He's on your side today. The troubles that you've laid at the foot of the cross, leave it laying there. Don't turn your back and take a step and then run back and grab a piece of it and go with it. Because that's what we do so often. Then we have a moment with God and we experience his power. And we experience his presence and his spirit. And we lay it down. I'm going to give this to you, God. And then like, as soon as everyone turns around, we're like, right? We just stick a piece of it because we just can't let go. And God is saying, let it go. Be convinced in my word. Be convinced of my faithfulness. And stand upon the promise. Listen, I want you to leave with these four thoughts today. God is on your side. He's on your side. And if he is for us, who can be against us? Number two, his spirit is forging out his plan for your life. Trust in that. Trust that the dreams you have may not be God's dreams for you. Pray and seek God and say, God, open the door. Open the door. His spirit is forging out a plan in your life. Number three this morning is that you can rest safely upon his promises. You can rest upon his promises, that his word is strong and his hand is mighty and he's never failed you. It might not have been what you wanted, but he's never failed you. And the last thing this morning is this. Hardship cannot keep his love from you. Hardship can't. Trials can't. Trouble can't. Nothing can keep God's love from you. And those are promises worth standing on this morning. Will you stand with me today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.